and you don't get a contract and get married without one, and the shit don't work out. You break up a year later, she's sitting around in the kitchen by herself, mad, trying to figure out a way to get even with your ass. But I can't believe that motherfucker did this to me. After all the shit I did, he gonna make it happen. All the thing I did, that motherfucker, he do this to me. Well, shit, I don't get him and his fat bitch can kiss my ass. I don't get shit by either one. I don't know, he got a whole lot of nerve. I don't want shit from him or her, and I don't care. You know something? I take half his shit. And they'll get it. They'll get you half your money, your house, your car, alimony, child support, and your children. I start having nightmares. I'm waking up in the middle of the night like this.
I want you in the games until he dies playing.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game!
No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want you in the games since he dies playing.
I can't play these video games.
Games and More Entertainment Radio.
Okay, this is episode 92 of Games and More Entertainment Radio. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
And, you know, this is the late edition. When was the last time we recorded this late at night?
It's been a while.
It's been a long time. It's the next day already, so it's not Father's Day anymore. But I've determined that if we can record today, that we can record any day. I'm convinced of this, because I had to go to work today twice. Slept like 4.5 hours total for the day. You had to deal with family.
Had
to make phone calls. Father's Day's brutal. It's like Mother's Day and Christmas and Thanksgiving and all that crap time that you have to deal with not playing games, you know? It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how people do it.
Especially on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, no. Those people that have like a real close family and all that stuff, that blows my mind, man. Because you know what? 4 or 5 times a year is about does it for me. But yeah, this is pretty cool. So it's the 20th. I'm going to have to remember that when I'm editing the show because I always can't remember what day it was. And now that I said it, I will hear it and I will not forget. That was for my benefit. And let's see. We got things to go through. You know, stuff that you should know. Like the website, email address, stuff like that. The website, hwhq.com. You can get past episodes and whatnot from there. And email address. You can email us, send in reviews, yell at us. We're big fans of those, you know. Getting chewed, especially me, because I usually have my head up my ass when it comes to my opinions, apparently, because I don't like World of Warcraft and I'm always wrong. So you can direct that email to c4.gameradio, it's GAMERADIO, @gmail.com. And we have one email this show from Gut Smith. It says, let's see here, it says, "Hey C4 and Kobar, I've been a listener for about 4 months now and really enjoy the show. It has become my favorite thing to listen to on my commute to and from work. It's really great to listen to real gamers talk about games. In episode 91, you talked a little bit about the PSP and its battery." Yes, it does, and I remember talking about this because I was sure that it had a soldered in lithium ion stuff. And thank God, this is why, thank God we get emails from listeners that know what the hell is going on, because I don't have one, Kobar doesn't have one. You can't just tear these things apart. And you know what the worst part is? I'm pretty sure that I remember having my hands on the battery at some point. Like, when it first came out, I got my hands on one at work and went through every piece in that box, and I swear I wrote down battery. And I bet if I went to the episode where I talked about what was, you know, in the box, mm-hmm. I guarantee I said battery and forgot that quick. But let's see. Yes, it does have a removable battery, and it can be easily replaced. In fact, one of the first things you do after pulling the PSP out of the box is to insert the battery. Extra batteries can be bought just about anywhere, even Walmart. They range in price from $40 to $50, a worthy purchase for the hardcore handheld junkies that need the extra juice. There are third-party items out there, as you've mentioned, but I have heard a lot of complaints about them not working properly.
That's common.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Plus, and they always look really weird, too.
Yeah.
Like, you actually added some weird contraption to your device anyway, and it usually doesn't really look slick. You want to see slick stuff? Look at the mod community. Look at the guys that made the mod chips and stuff, okay? Why can't a legitimate company come up with something cool looking like that? Have you seen, like, the faceplate remake of, like, the Xbox made by, like, the guys that made the X chips, the executor and all them?
Well, that's because those guys are actually gamers.
Exactly.
They're not suits in some corporate office somewhere.
I think you're right. I mean, that is some slick stuff there. And you won't find anything like that made by like a real, using my air quotes here, real company. Let's see. Also, I'm a big MMO fan as well and really enjoy you guys talking about them, even though I'm a big WoW player. I'm sorry. It's just me that doesn't like World of Warcraft. And Kobar sold his soul to the devil. And actually went out and bought it.
I did. I can't deny it. So far, so good. I don't think I'll be playing it for incredibly long, but you know.
Hey, I already got what I wanted out of WoW. Out of you buying WoW. I got to call him gay via proxy. Ran into his girlfriend, and she's like, I already called him gay for you. That was awesome.
She did too. She walked through the door, and then I am playing it, and she knew that my 10 days was up, and she's like, you're gay!
That is so awesome. Oh, I wish I had that on video. Okay, now let's see. As for movies, okay, now this is great because this is a big section of our show today. We have a reason for this, but let's see. As for movies, be sure you both check out Batman Begins. This movie is the definitive comic book film, and it is easily the best film of the summer. Keep up the great work. Thank you. And
we do both plan on it.
Yes, in fact, we almost went out and saw it today. And if you've listened to the show before, I think we've both mentioned how rare we go to the theater. I mean, it's got to be
very
like,
rare.
Yeah, an act of God. Maybe once a year for me.
Or a Star Wars movie.
For you. Yeah, I don't do it. I don't like going to the movies. They cost too much money. It's an uncomfortable situation. I'm always sitting next to some lady and her kid, you know. I mean, like baby kid, though, like crying and always having to get up and go somewhere. And yeah,
generally, if I go to the theater, it's like, the movie's been out for 3 weeks.
Right, yeah.
It's like Thursday at 10:30.
And for me, it's not a planned thing. It's always like well, we could go to the movies.
Right.
And it's like, you know, if there's something worth watching, I'll go. But it's gotta be damn important. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's gotta be a huge, like X-Men 2. Movie of the year, whatever the hell year that came out, for me. I loved that movie. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. I loved it. And I think I went to the theater twice that year. But there's plenty of years where I didn't go at all.
Right.
So it balances out for me. About once a year, maybe. So, yeah, we almost went today, but unfortunately, right when we decided to go, the last airing of the night had just started. Yep. So, unfortunately, that didn't happen. But I'll tell you what, I've been hearing about that movie all week. Mm-hmm. So it must be just the bee's knees. It's gotta be the shit. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I think it's really a good idea for them to get away from the crazy, silly,
yeah,
way over the top thing, because it just wasn't working anymore.
No.
It got worse and worse every single one, and it was just too far.
Yeah, it was. But we have a lot to say about movies and stuff coming up anyway in the show, because I think we mentioned it before too, about it's summertime. We're post E3. We've covered, you know, not everything by any stretch of the imagination, but a good chunk of E3, and I think at least the things that we're really interested in. And then there's Battlefield 2, of course, which has been sucking up a good portion of my time. As much as I want to deny it, I keep telling myself it's not that good, but damn it, every day I come home and play for about 4 hours.
Ah.
You know, and it's the same map. The demo only gives you one map.
Right.
You know, so
you know it's good if you're playing the same map
over
4 hours.
Oh, well, now I'm pretty good now, though. Now I'm, like, always in, like, the top five. I'm a couple, like, over 100 points in. At the end of the map, you're looking at, like, maybe the best guy is, like, 185 points, and I'm, like, maybe 120 points in, you know, at least on like, the timed ones that are all not the crazy hacked ones that have no time and all that crap.
Right.
You know, and they're balanced because you can adjust the ticket count so that the teams are even and all that, you know, like a real straight even server and everything,
right,
where it's not, and plus on a server where it's not, like, there's 50 Marine Corps dudes and 14 of us on the coalition side, you know, on the Middle Eastern coalition side. I find that a lot. It gets really unbalanced, you know, but like, I don't know, I'm getting pretty good now, so it's fun to play. Because all of a sudden now, I'm messing people's day up. And you know, I'm playing as the medic.
Really?
The medic is invincible. It's awesome, dude.
Oh, because you can heal yourself.
Because you can heal yourself, yeah. Throw down some healing packs, right? You're hiding behind a corner, throw down some healing packs. All three of them, who cares? There's nobody else around you. And your gun doesn't suck if you're a good aim with that. That particular gun, it doesn't suck. I swear to God, it's better than the sniper rifle sometimes. It's amazing. So I've run around, shoot some people. They hit me once. I back up and I step on a health box. They don't know that, right? It's awesome.
That is great.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, man. I've been having a blast playing this game. Plus, you see so many cool things in this game. You know, like, in fact, there's a video clip I was showing some people for a while that I
That was cool.
Wasn't that neat? It looked like it was straight out of Hollywood, you know? I mean, it was really neat. And I turned Fraps on while I was playing. I didn't know. And I happened to remember seeing a really cool scene, and I thought, wow, since I accidentally recorded this, I'm going to go find the scene. And I saw it, and I'm up on the roof sniping. And I hear like a rocket fly past or a chopper or something. I look up and I see the chopper fly by, and then you hear a jet come screeching by, and you see the jet fly past the thing, and then just behind the jet comes a rocket from a helicopter that you can't see blow the helicopter into pieces. I mean, you see like pieces of the blades, you know, the thing flying off, and this giant like Hollywood explosion just as the F-14 hangs a sharp left turn, and it's got like trails and everything. I mean, it was really cinematic.
Yeah,
is what was so cool about it, you know. And that kind of shit happens a lot in this game. I mean, it is really, really good. What I hate to say is that, you know, it's published by EA.
Yeah,
you know, and that's brutal. Now,
at least it's not made by them.
Yeah, but I don't know.
There's still the money.
Yeah, exactly. And I really hate feeding that machine. They piss me off, but. You know, in the face of a good game, I'm going to crack. Because you know what? Burnout 4, Burnout Revenge, it's got my name written all over it. It's got my money reserved. Right. EA. But you know what? I know if a good game, it's got to be played. It's got to be paid for. Because, you know, that was put out by, you know, whoever. And
the people who actually made the game deserve their chunk of...
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So
sometimes you just have to break down.
You do.
I've done it before, too. I might do it with Spore, for example.
Oh, right. Yeah. I don't see that happening for me. I don't. You can play that with your little goo balls and your little weird race and all that weird stuff and form your... Yeah, whatever. I don't know. I don't find that... I don't know. It might be just the most amazing thing I've ever seen, but I don't know. But, yeah, Battlefield kicks ass. I didn't play today, so I'm kind of, like, freaking out. Now, we do have some news from our friends over at SOE, Sony Online Entertainment. Mm-hmm. I've about had it with you. Okay. And now... They have the rights to, and everybody's going to say, oh, who cares, The Matrix Online.
Right.
Which didn't do so spectacular. And that was done by the Monolith people, I guess. And they work, I guess it's like a 25-man team or something that was like taking control of it and since release and everything that was running the show on Matrix Online. They now work for Sony.
Right.
They work for SOE now. And... I don't really know what to think about that, but those of you that are curious if it's going to be part of the state, what do they call that thing? I can't remember. It's like the station pass or whatever.
Yeah, one where you can pay for one thing and then you get everything station has.
Yeah, yeah, everything that Sony does. Yeah, so like, you know, I know a lot of people that play EverQuest 2 that I played EQ2 with have that pass because they also have EverQuest 1 accounts still that they don't want to pay two separate things for. You know, and some of them checked out SWG a little bit.
So you save some money, especially if you play a couple of them.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a good thing if you're into, you know, playing a lot of different MMOs. You can, you know, that's something you might want to look into. I don't know too many people that are playing The Matrix anymore. I knew quite a few people that were trying to play beta and right when it came out for like a week. And then people got really sick of it seemed like. So.
Well, another piece of interesting news that came out with this story was the fact that Warner Brothers Interactive, who was behind Matrix to begin with, gave SOE the rights to a DC comic-based MMO as well.
Yeah, they're going to be working together on this.
Right.
And what systems was this for? This is the craziest part.
Yep. PS2, Xbox...
PS3.
PS3, Xbox 360, and PS... and the
play, fail. All right. PlayStation 3, the PSP, and the PC.
Oh, the PSP, that's right.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
That is really bizarre. Yeah, and they're saying they're trying to get it so that they all can play together. Yeah, that's going to be amazing. That'll be a technological feat right there, because they said the gameplay, of course, is going to be extremely different on the PSP, but they want to get it so you're still in the world.
Huh.
Yeah, so we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, I don't know about that at all, because, well, the amount of space the PSP has to hold a game does not really fly.
What is it, a gig and a half or something?
Yeah, that's not enough for an MMO.
How much of the 5 gigs of EverQuest or the 5 gigs of Final Fantasy do you think is textures and sound? A lot. a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? And if probably they strap a good, the sound, a good 4 gigs, at least the voiceovers anyway, they use some heavily compressed audio, and you're going to be looking at, like, some pretty low-end graphics, you know? I mean, you're not going to be playing this on, you know, your PC with a really nice graphics card. You're going to get this tiny little screen, which, you know, hey, it's a nice screen. The PSP is pretty amazing. It blew my mind.
It's a nice mobile, you know, for sure. It's not a PS3 or a computer.
Yeah, exactly. No matter how much Sony wants to tell us it probably is, it's not. It won't control missiles either. Now, that's a very interesting piece of information, though. I don't know. It blew my mind. I feel sorry for the Matrix Online players, though. Because this, I just see this as, like, another game that Mr. Smedley is going to screw up somehow. Making bad decisions is why, you know, well, part of the reason why, it's one of the two reasons why I left EverQuest 2. Mm-hmm. The bad decisions they made in that game to try to change it. And I would not doubt at all that they start making these crazy changes to Matrix Online, and players are going
to
leave.
Well, they're doing it to Star Wars Galaxy.
Star Wars Galaxy.
They're turning it into EverQuest 2, which is
a real slap in the face.
Wild Point 9.
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly. I don't see what they're doing. I don't think they know what they're doing, but I hope they have a grand plan, you know? Now, good news. This is some really good news. I like seeing, I want to call it like garage gaming, you know, but it's these days it's more like the mod community, I guess. Okay. It's not one guy cranking out a game. It's a team of people working on a mod for a game that just kicks ass.
You can't do one person anymore.
You know, to an extent anyway, I guess. I'm sure it can be done.
You can make maps and stuff, but you can't do full conversions with one guy.
It would take you forever. Yeah. But this is, you actually know a whole lot more about this than I do.
Well, I don't know about that.
It's called Eclipse.
This is crazy. This blew my mind when I found out this was 22 people?
Oh, you got a number of people? I could not find a number of people.
I can't remember. I didn't write it down. It was somewhere in the neighborhood of 20.
A group of college students.
Right. In their off time, like when they're not at school, making a game in 5 months that looks like any AAA title.
I would say any AAA title as of maybe in the last year.
Okay.
Because it's not EverQuest 3. We're not talking EverQuest Doom 3. We're talking Unreal Tournament 2004.
We're still talking incredible freaking graphics for 5 months.
The people just
on their off time.
Yeah, that's.
I think it was a school project, so that would count as homework time as well.
Yeah, that's true, because it is part of some kind of. Of course, I read it and didn't write it down because I said irrelevant at the time. But yeah, I even have the site here. Anyway, it's a total conversion for Half-Life 2.
Right.
So I know so many people out there have Half-Life 2, and this game that they made here is more like an RPG, like an action RPG.
Right.
It's third person than it is like, you know, some kind of a first person shoot 'em up type game. The site for this, it's https://students.guildhall.smu.edu/eclipse. I'll have a link in the show notes as usual, and this looks pretty amazing. Third person action game. You get to play as some chick with some pretty cool like tattoos and stuff, and like she looks good. Like, I mean, the graphics in this game, like the world itself,
they're up. Shocking.
Yeah,
5 months.
Yeah, it looks good.
I call total shems on all those crazy companies that are taking 3 years to make a game and saying, "Oh, we lost so much money."
I know. We spent $10 million and.
Shut up.
30 man years.
Yeah, these people did it in 5 months.
Right, exactly.
Now, granted.
They didn't code the engine.
They didn't do any of the engine work. But
everything else, I guess they've done, you know?
Yeah.
The sound, the graphics, the gameplay, the weapon system, the story.
On a lot less time, we're talking about people who do this as a job, and these people were doing this when not in school.
Yeah,
fewer people in 5 months.
This is a feat. This is really something. This puts hope back in me, because I'm a big, big fan of, you know, I remember back in the day, you know, when it was just like, oh, this game was made by two dudes, mm-hmm. you know, and it was just like, wow, this game kicked ass. These guys put this out on a BBS somewhere, and I got it, you know, and it's been out for 2 weeks already, but because you didn't have the internet, right. You had to wait for that kind of crap to spread across the, you know, the world. Before you get your hands on it, and it was just awesome, you know. And I used to have like this dream where it was just like you could live like that, you know. And to me, that was it. That was like, man, I'm going to live in my basement forever, and I'm just going to play video games all day, and I'm going to make stuff, and it's going to be cool. But then it changed to where now you got to be part of you know, Blizzard Entertainment's massive, you know, corporation and get paid X amount and have X amount of schooling and study and this and that ridiculous stuff, and you got to work with, you know, 100 other people and spend 5 years on it, you know?
I don't know about 100, but yeah.
Well, yeah, a shitload of people, though, still. You know, not just you and a group of friends. You know?
Right, maybe, right.
Like, a reasonable group of people, to me, seems like 4 or 5.
I think the average crew complement of a development team for a new game is like
30, 40?
Yeah, in between 30 and 40.
Like 50, maybe? Somewhere in there? That sounds about right, too. But to me, it seems like you should still be able to produce really good quality stuff with, like, 5 people. 5 dedicated, passionate people. Not drones.
Mm-hmm.
Not Electronic Arts employees, all right? Now, I'm sure some of you are okay and still have your heads about you, but I'm sure a lot of you are slaves to the machine.
But
okay?
Working the 90-hour weeks has got to take that out of you.
Right. Yeah, it does. It wears you thin after a while. But yeah, okay, so check this out. You play, okay, your character, you're a chick. A lot of people have a problem with that, okay? Sorry, you have issues with your sexuality. You play as a chick named Violet, and she's some kind of like sorcerer, conjurer chick or whatever, and she has like telekinetic spells, powers, not quite sure which of the two. But you, now see, this is the thing that makes it sound like it's not so much fun to me, but I understand it's very addictive to play though. Like the people that have been playing it are saying, you know, God, I just can't stop because it's fun. Was that you know, you're killing enemies by picking shit up and throwing it at them.
Right.
You know, and I'll tell you what, that gets on my nerves. I don't like that at all. And we're going to actually get to that in another game that we played this week, because it got on my nerves there, too. It got on my nerves in Half-Life 2. It got on my nerves in other games. You know, I don't...
It definitely got on my nerves in Half-Life 2, well, the little bit I played. I just played the demo. But everybody was like, oh, that gun where you can pick up buzzsaws and shoot them and stuff. I'm like, okay.
Like it was some big thing, and it was more of a nuisance than anything to me.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. Well, anyway, we'll get to that. But it's actually pretty cool. And you also get other spells in this, too. And, of course, the website doesn't mention everything, and I really wish they went more in-depth on the site.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but hey, you know what? They put all their time and effort into the game. Hey, that's better than putting time and effort into the website to tell me how great your game is supposed to be, and it falls short.
Right.
You know, according to everything I've seen, this game delivers, and the site falls short. But what they had listed was something called Hell. I mean, there's all kinds of spells that you can unlock later on, you get. But there was one that they mentioned called Hellstorm, where you pull up these 3 fireballs up out of thin air, I guess. And you can chuck those at people, too. They explode when they hit. I guess they have a bunch of cool things like that. I imagine there's probably 6 like that, maybe. I don't know. It doesn't say. It doesn't say, and the video didn't really show you too much. But watch the video on the site. It's really cool. I mean, it looks damn good. The screenshots just... They blow your mind when you think to yourself what these people did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm proud of these guys, man.
They're not even fully out of college. They're not done learning about the industry yet.
This is like a project that kicks ass. You know, that's great. That is really cool. So I'm happy to report on something like that. You know, I'd like to talk about stuff like that more often. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
I hate talking about stuff that's like, this is gonna be good.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to these guys pumping out of college and being in the world.
Get a nice job somewhere, not EA, and do something good. It's 228 meg download. It's up on the site. You can get
maybe
it
now. They'll even be a team.
Yeah, that would be something, huh?
That sort of thing is going to bond people together a little bit.
Hey, I just remembered something. This struck me as something just like that the other day, and it blew my mind. Fate. That game called Fate. Now, somebody posted this on the forum like a month, 2 months ago, maybe?
Okay.
Ever heard of it? Fate.
It sounds familiar.
Now, I spent a good amount of time looking into this recently because I came across it on accident somewhere and it sparked the memory that somebody mentioned this a long time ago, and it was actually on the forums. And it's available now, and it looks like kind of like Diablo, kind of strikes me as Diablo, but I read the forums for hours the other day, like, you know, looking at screenshots. It looks pretty cool. It's called Fate. The problem with it is it's the guy who did it. And now when I say the guy, I was under the impression that it was basically put together by one dude.
Really?
Yeah. And the problem was is his marketing is through Wild Tangent. Wild Tangent. I get paid to remove Wild Tangent spyware.
Right.
Okay, this is my job, okay, is to shut Wild Tangent and shit like it down because it's, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's kind of like, do you want that crap on your computer? Do you want to play this game that bad? You know, and it looks like it's a lot of fun, though, but it struck me as like, you know, unfortunately that might be what we're looking at these days if you develop a game with one or two people as far as marketing goes, because I see the logo all over. Wild Tangent's doing a decent job of marketing this game. It really is, because, you know, you wind up on some random website that has something to do with whatever the hell it is, and you'll see an ad for Fate up there, you know, and I'm like, wow, you know? So at least they're holding up their end of the bargain. The game is supposed to be a lot of fun. The problem is the Wild Tangent part of it. You know,
so now you pay for a game and you're getting spyware with it.
Yeah. there's a whole issue about that too, and the way, and there's actually one other issue with the game is the way that you unlock it. Like you download the whole thing. It's like 115 megs or something, I think, and you pay for it, and something about like you get like an unlock code or something. But like if you try to copy it to another machine, like let's say you would want it on your laptop and your desktop, mm-hmm. like you're only allowed to do that like three times, and like or if you format your machine, that takes one of your times away that you can basically have access to your game again. Yeah, there's something about it on the forum that was really confusing, like on the Wild Tangent forum.
Right.
You got to go there and read up on this. But the game looked like damn fun though, you know. And one of the posters on the forum compared it to a game called Darkstone more than Diablo, which was interesting because. Darkstone, you ever played that?
Mm-mm.
It's a lot like Diablo, except for it was like after Diablo 1, I'm 90% sure, and before Diablo 2, pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Wolf bought it one day, right? Just, we were like cruising around looking at random crap. Wolf's like, dude, this game looks fat. So he buys it. We go back home, you know, which is like an hour drive, all excited to play this game. Both of us were off the next day. We played this game for like 17 hours,
right?
And then never, ever, ever touched it again. Neither one of us. Like, it was fun shit, though. And then it was just like, we never got the time to play together, and we never wanted to play it solo because we had so much fun playing together is what happened. It wasn't a bad game at all. It just kind of reminded me of that for some reason. Anyway, moving along. Grandia 3, something that I had mentioned before that I really wanted to see. I played Grandia 2 and loved the crap out of it. I mean, it was amazing. Good story, great characters. The characters made it. I mean, they had attitude. You know, I mean, they were just great. You had, you know, a pretty
good
story.
Which is lacking these days.
It really is. The lifeless, soulless characters. I don't know. But Grandia 3 is in the works, and unfortunately, there is no U.S. release date for it. As in, not released in the USA, as of right now.
Really?
Yeah. Right now,
as in they're not sure, or
yeah,
as in,
like, I guess they want to test it out. From what I could find, because there is a Japanese date, the last day of the year, December 31st, 2005, Grandia 3 is supposed to hit the shelves in Japan. What? You're looking at me all weird.
A few days after Christmas?
Yeah,
a few days?
That's genius, isn't it?
yeah. I don't know. I don't know how big Christmas is in Japan, but I think it's pretty big.
Oh, well, yeah, you'd think, huh?
I think so.
I would imagine. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. But I don't know. This one, apparently. Now, see, I don't know if I like the direction they want to take with this, because this is like, hey, let's try Wind Waker, and let's put Link on water. Let's try Suikoden and put him on water. That game did not do very well at all. Mm. Suikoden 3 was one of the best games I've played in the last 5 years. Easy. Then they go ahead and release Suikoden 4. I've seen it now for like $20. Cause it's, oh no, maybe $30. But it sucks. I'm not gonna buy it, cause it's terrible. Mm. You know, and they put them on water. Now this one, they're putting them in air. Okay, so you spent a good amount of your time, I guess, in the air.
Flying around.
Flying around. Which worked for, Skies of Arcadia. What's it called? Eternal Arcadia or some crap like
something.
That? I can't remember. Whatever it is. It was a pretty decent game. Way too many random fights, but that was a fun game. This one has lots to do with the air. There's some kind of story about a famous pilot. He's like legendary, right? And basically, he flew like the biggest, baddest ships in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And this guy's like a legend. And the kind of legend that, like, because, you know, the Grandia games always have, like, that magical quality to them where, like, there's something big going on and people have hopes and dreams. And so you meet characters that are talking about stuff in the world and you're like, one day I'm going to be this. Well, this one apparently has a bunch of, like kids and younger people that want to be, like, this, like, ace pilot dude, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he's, like, their hero or whatnot. So you run into, I guess, a lot of that kind of stuff. And something about you flying, like, a little, like, for some reason I keep picturing, like, a little Red Baron plane. You know, like, somehow, like, instead of having, like, a fat airship, like, I want... You have, like, this little, like, biplane that you get to fly around in. Yeah, I don't know if it's for long, because there isn't that much out there. Like,
at least in English.
Yeah, right, exactly. There's a movie, which looks pretty cool. We watched, you know, some video on it, and it looks pretty good. The graphics look, like, you know, great.
Mm.
They looked great on the Dreamcast on Grandia 2, I thought, you know. And, Yeah, you're right. There's not much out on in English on there. And then Famitsu, they had a 12-page spread on it, though. I mean, they talked about quite a bit, but
I wish we had a magazine like that.
Dude, I know.
Every time I hear Famitsu, it's like, we have this fat thing in here, but it's all in Japanese, so you can't read it.
Yeah, exactly. You get to look at the few screenshots,
and it's every
though.
Week.
Yeah. You know, how come we get screwed? That's I just need to suck it up, learn Japanese, and get out of Dodge. You know, exactly. I'll take some friends, yep. You know. We'll get a bunch of people over there. Meep. DBS, he's gonna be our both of them too, actually. They speak pretty good now, Japanese.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes.
That's cool. But they all work like 80-hour work weeks.
We can be the lazy Americans in Japan, and we'll hang out at the arcade and whoop people's ass at arcade games for money, though.
Right? Ah, the arcades are big over there.
You know, yeah, exactly. You know, not like here, where you can't find one for 200 miles. Well,
we have it pretty good.
Yeah, we have it really good, I think. Okay,
yeah, compared to most of the country.
Yeah, exactly. And and really good is pathetic.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah, so I don't know. Anyway, the fighting system, which is what I really wanted to talk about with Grandia 3, because I'm sure everybody's heard me talk about Grandia 2, how amazing. To me, it's the perfect combat system for an RPG. It just feels perfect. I think it's fantastic. Basically, they kept all that because it works for them.
Good.
Right? That's a good thing. And they added some improvements to it. Like, they've added, counter moves. So, like, you could counter, but now you can do, like, some fat move back. Mm-hmm. Right? You have aerial attacks, like a combo deal. So, because this game, I'm sure, is based on air being up in the air, there's going to be some crazy air deal. This one, you get, like, air combos and stuff. So you're knocking people up in the sky and stuff. Kind of like, it reminds me of, like, playing, what was that game? Like Guilty Gear. You know, it's like a fighting game where you're knocking people up in the air, like a juggle kind of deal, you know? Stuff like that, but it's not all ridiculous like a fighting game gets. But I don't know, they kept that fighting style, though, which is really, really awesome. And unfortunately, I can't find a whole lot of more information about this game. Which is kind of sad, because it's out there. I just can't read it. This is like Fantasy Earth. I can't read a damn thing about that game. You know, it looks pretty good.
Happens with Square Enix for all their stuff.
They love rubbing it in.
They throw all that stuff out in Japanese. And somehow, it never manages to get translated.
That's the part that blows my mind. You would think there would be a couple websites, like hardcore dedicated gamers that just want to get that information out there. And, you know, the pages aren't long. They're not wordy. There's pictures of, you know, like a paragraph. And maybe there's 10 paragraphs on the site. It would take you all of just a couple hours, I'm sure, tops, to put the site together for, you know, one per whole game site in Japanese.
I'm also kind of surprised they don't have, like, better translating software. Although it would be tough in the Flash because that's a picture of of characters instead of like the text.
Yeah, right. Well, one day we can hope. Yeah. We'll just have to break down and learn Japanese. You know?
I think
like,
so.
Spend a weekend, you know.
Yeah, especially to read it. I mean, that's the easy part.
Right. I don't plan
there
on
12
like,
billion characters.
Exactly. I'd have to like wallpaper this place and characters to try to learn it, you know. We could knock that out in 2 or 3 days, I'm sure. Have it down. We need to turn it into a game. That's what somebody needs to make. They need to make a game where you learn Japanese. I'd play it. Edutainment game. That's what I want. Just that would be sweet. Now, did we play any games this week? No, you still have stuff that we didn't play. This is our preview section.
Well, I've come across this game called Namco X Capcom. Now, this is along the veins of, you know, Capcom versus SNK and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
But it's not a fighting game.
Kinda.
This is a fighting strategy RPG. Like...
Did you get that? A fighting strategy RPG.
Like La Pucelle or
Phantom Brave
or Disgaea, any of those. Right.
Tactics. But
it's action,
which I think is cool.
Well, yeah.
It's the characters part I don't think is so cool.
We're talking everything from Ryu and Ken, all the way to Cosmos and Momo.
Yeah.
I mean, and everything in between, like 200
Holy
of
shit.
Namco and Capcom's characters. 200.
This is where I need like a tire screech audio clip for the show. What? Oh my god.
Okay, so, and because this is an RPG, there is a full-blown wacky story that ties and explains why all these characters are together.
And this is why, that's why, I want to play this game. Because that has got to be the ridiculous part of it that's got to be the most interesting, though. Although I bet the gameplay is a lot of fun, because...
Well, most of it is standard strategy RPG fare. You got your grids, you got your... Some guys can attack just in the squares around them. Some people can attack around that. And the differences come in... Attacks are kind of action-based because... Like, say you're moving Ryu, and he'll have, like, say, five different abilities that he can do. And you achieve that ability not by going through a menu and saying, okay, do Dragon Punch. Dragon Punch is forward, forward, square, or whatever.
It's forward, down, down, forward, and punch, but yeah.
But, so, that's pretty interesting. On the defense... It's a little simpler than that, but the same sort of deal where your enemy will be attacking you, and then the system will put up D-pad cues, like block right, block left, block up.
Huh.
And so, and also characters who are from the same game, like say Cosmos and Momo, will be able to do combo attacks
sick.
Together.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. So it looks like it could be pretty good. Unfortunately, I discovered at the very end, when reading this thing about this game, that it's uncertain if it's even coming here.
And it sounds, I mean, it almost sounds too weird to make it here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people would just say, what is this crap? But I don't know, that doesn't mean, what's that one game? Katamari Damacy or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that, you know, a weird game can't do very well. I'm just, you know, this kind of thing seems really special.
You like know, the short bus
like
kind of special?
No, like a niche market special.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like, there's just a limited amount of people that would care. And
the strategy RPG genre, or what they call...
RPG simulation?
Yeah, RPG simulator, or whatever.
Whatever.
Is huge in Japan.
Right.
It's absolutely
right.
Gigantic. It's one of the biggest things going on.
And so are fighting games.
Right. And it's starting to catch up here. I mean, we got the La Pucelle and the all those that are coming, just flooding the market recently, and they're doing quite well. So you don't know.
Yeah, I hope it makes it, just because I gotta get my hands on this. I gotta check this out. Because I like fighting games.
Mm-hmm.
Not too big of a fan of the strategy ones, though. Like, I don't know, they're alright, but I think that what's missing from them is combat sucks in most of these games. I fall asleep. It's like playing EverQuest 1 to me. I can't tolerate it, you know?
Damn. Yeah. So,
I just can't do it. So I think that would really liven things up for me a lot, though. I think that would be really cool, which is why I really want to check that out.
Yeah, it looks like it could be pretty interesting. At least for the storyline.
I know. I gotta hear this explanation. I know it's gonna be stupid. It's gonna be like some vortex sucked them all into some other world and spits them back out.
Well, no, because some of them live in the real world. Some of them live in the
in the
demon world. Some of them live in
super
the future
space.
Some.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
And they all meet in Japan.
Of course. Where else?
Like in the real world.
Of course. Where else would they meet? Not on Mars with a bizarre story like that, no. Okay, now, something that we did play. I swear we're going to get more structured as we go. We got a little bit of news. You take care of the housekeeping, a little bit of the news. Preview section, like a magazine. Remember you go through a magazine, it's laid out like the same way. What if we do it like that? We're working on it. See, we're getting there, right? We get our previews, our actual reviews of stuff we played, and then we like to talk about movies and music and crap like that, you know? So... On to the actual reviews. Doom 3 expansion. Doom 3 Resurrection of Evil. Now, here goes. Oh, God. C4, let it go. We don't like Doom. You know what? Shut up.
Flashlight simulator?
It's okay. God damn it. All right. This one is much less of a flashlight simulator than the other one. I seriously remember using my flashlight in the expansion. Like, maybe for a total of a half an hour. And that's out of, like, probably 7 to 10 hours a game.
Mm-hmm.
You barely use the flashlight. It's not like it's brighter, it's almost just you don't use it because you're fighting a lot more. It seemed much more action-based.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got to cram, you know, a whole lot into 12 levels. You know, a whole lot into a very little section of game. It's not like you're playing the original where you got like have, you know, 27 levels or whatever the hell.
They were also playing catch up from everybody going, oh, Flashlight Simulator!
Exactly. People bitching and ruining a good thing. Now, thank God they know what they're doing. Because not only do you not need to use the flashlight so much, you do. Like, I used it, you know, I mean, but I would only pull it out like, hey, what's in that dark corner? Whip it out, there's nothing there. Or I'd pull it out, it's like, oh, I can go that way, you know, like, you know, whatever it is I'm looking for. It was very rare. I only really had to pull it out when I was, like, in the corners of rooms, it seemed like. You know, like, if I was trying to, I don't know, see what was behind, like, a file cabinet or something, right. You know, or, like, a little hallway or something stupid that I wouldn't normally even need to be in. Because this one, it seemed much more action-based. It kept you with your guns out most of the time. That was what really blew my mind. I was constantly, like, under stress to kill things, which was pretty cool. Now, because they know what they're doing, they had, like, the perfect mix of the scariness, though, also. You know, because there's plenty of times where you're sitting there and there's nothing bombarding you, and you're walking around all creeped out, and you open a door, and some big dude tries to bite your face off all of a sudden, you know, or you turn a corner and the wall busts down, and there's some guy shooting plasma balls at you, and you're just like, Jesus, you know? Mm-hmm. But then they keep coming. So I think they did a better job for the action crowd, you know, right. That wants a lot of fat, but it's not very long because it's an expansion pack, which, you know, is of course affected by the price. You know, when this came out, wasn't it like $35?
I think so.
Now I've seen it all over the place for $20. I think it's like Best Buy and CompUSA have it for like $25, but if you hit up online, it's like $19.99 everywhere. They've got the double-barreled shotgun, which they added, which I don't like. It's sucks. Why? I don't know. Like, it seems like I can do just as much damage with the single barrel up close.
And it takes less time to load.
Way less time to load, because you can put 8 in the clip and you just pump it and bam, you shoot again. This one, you shoot 2 and you gotta reload and it takes a while. You know? But I did use it. I did use it. But I prefer the single barreled shotgun. Let's see. It had a decent story, too. You know, there was like, oh wait, the guns. There was a, that stupid grabber gun thing, which we were gonna talk about. You know, like you pick shit up.
Oh.
Yeah, they stripped it straight out of Half-Life and threw it into this. Now, my problem with it was, when they give you the gun, immediately, you're forced to use the stupid thing. Now, I understand, it's like, okay, here, you gotta train yourself with this gun, get used to it, but I refused to use this gun. I didn't use it. I basically didn't use it, which is what I think kept me stressed for ammo the whole time. Because I was...
you were supposed to be able to use.
Yeah, to throw back their fireballs and all that crap. Dude, I hate that thing. It's stupid, okay? You know, give me bullets, lead, plasma, something I'm used to, okay? Something I like. Not throwing barrels at somebody. Not throwing their... I'm not playing tennis here with an imp. You know, I don't want to throw their fireball back at them, but they intend for you to. The only thing that grabber gun I found to be good for was the flying skull dudes, because it's like it's insta-kill. I mean, just poof, and they're gone. It's instant. And it's good for them because it's, you know, it saves some ammo there, you know.
Right.
But I was under stress for ammo, which was amazing because in these games, I'm usually have way too much or none.
Right.
And it sucks. And I don't know, I mean, It must have been pure accident that I had just enough the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm sure everybody out there who's playing is saying, no, I had too much or no, I didn't have enough. I had just enough. You know, I would, oh crap, we're fighting these guys, I need a shotgun. Well, I'm out of shells now, after fighting those guys.
Mm.
Next room, I'm killing dudes, and I'm using my rocket launcher, and then I pick up a couple shells, I go to the next room, and, you know, I don't want to use my rocket launcher on those dudes, so I go to, like, the machine gun. So I use up the machine gun, I'm out of rounds with the machine gun, I go back to the shotgun. You know, and it was like, I constantly had just enough. I was never sitting on fat piles of ammo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the enemies, a lot harder. You're fighting burly guys the whole time, not these stupid imps that you can kill in one shot all the time. You're fighting dudes that are, you know, they're warping towards you, and you can only shoot them every so often, and they're phasing in and out, and you can't shoot them when they're invisible, and you're fighting those, like, Minotaur guys that are shooting the plasma things at you all
right.
the time. Big-ass dudes in small corridors a lot of the time, too. Scary shit. It's a lot of fun, though. And I don't know. I really, really enjoyed it. And you get that weird artifact thing, too. That little heart thing. Pretty cool, too.
Right.
You suck up souls with it. So you walk around with this beating heart in your hands, right? Which is like this artifact thing. And you come across dead bodies, you know, throughout the moon base and whatnot. And you stand over it and it absorbs the soul, which now gives it one charge. You can hold up to 3 charges and you get skills with it, like berserk, invincibility, and you get like speed run or some crap like that, whatever. It's like you get bullet time too with it, because
right.
kind of berserk slows it down. And it's awesome because you hit that, you're invincible, you're running around just beating the crap out of everybody. And it's great for the boss fight, let me tell you. The boss fight blew the doors off the boss fight in Doom 3. The boss fight in Doom 3 was pathetic. It was lame. I mean, it was fun, and it was like, wow, that's kind of neat, but it was kind of ghetto compared to what everybody expected. I wanted...
And what the rest of the game was.
Right, right. It just... No, man. I wanted to have to pump 75 rockets into that guy and run for my life, you know, on a huge arena. Not a tiny little donut wherein I shoot him twice with the special weapon. You know, it was stupid. You know, this thing, you gotta blow the crap out of this guy. And it's the same bad guy from the original one, you know, like from Doom, you know, Doom 3. It's that bad guy basically still out there alive and kicking. You still have to deal with the cool story, and you go through some familiar places. They're different. You wind up on Delta Labs again. And if you played Doom 3, you remember seeing fucking Delta Labs level 1, level 2, level 3. And I was just like, no, I hate this zone. Get me out of here. Because it feels like the same shit over and over. But when you go back this time, it was really neat. Because they added an effect that just was... I mean, this game is still scary, okay? There was a scene in one of the levels where you're walking around and all of a sudden you walk into this room, and all of a sudden, it gives this grainy film effect over your screen, so it looks like you're watching like an old ass movie, and it's tinted red, right? And you got like this fuzz, and it feels like all of a sudden, you know, you're watching a movie, and you're like locked in this room, and there's just a bunch of zombie dudes like just mowing down on you. It was really cool, you know. It was like a neat little setup, and there was a another one when you hit Delta Labs. This was sweet, okay. The whole thing of it is that basically, you know, it's such pure evil in this concentrated area. Right. And you were there before to cure all that, you know, and it eliminated, not quite cure. And you go back now, and it's all tore up. I mean, now it's got, like, demon stuff and hell coming through the walls and stuff. You know, it's really creepy now. Not so moon-basey, human-built looking now. And the screen pulsated red. So you're walking around, and it would go... And it would be red-tinted, and it would skew your vision a little bit. Almost like you were underwater, but not a lot.
Right.
Just a little bit, enough around to make you, enough around the edges to make you blink. You know, and you were just like, damn it, this is weird. And it would go perfectly clear again, and then...
Kind of disorient you.
Yeah, it was really cool, psycho slasher movie, scary cool.
Huh.
It was awesome. Now, $20 now, I paid 15. So, it's definitely 15 out of 15. But I think the majority of people are going to get stuck paying 20, and I'm going to have to stick with the $15 out of 20. It's not very long, so, but it's very fun if you enjoy Doom 3. Definitely recommend it. Moving along, now see, for every great game we play, there's got to be a crappy game we play.
Or for every great game, there's 30 crappy games.
Yes, that's very true. And I had to play this game. I had to play it. It had Ass Kick in the title. It has my name written all over it. There could not be a more perfect setup for a game. This game is called Red Ninja. It's for the Xbox and the PlayStation 2. Everybody's laughing right now going, that game is terrible. It got bad marks everywhere. But I remember seeing it before it came out, going, this has got to be fun. So when I happened to stumble across it before I'd seen any reviews or even played it, and I came across it to rent, and I was like, I gotta check this out. Absolutely horrible. I cannot say enough bad about this game. I can't. It's terrible. Everything from the camera, dude, you can't see a goddamn thing.
No, no.
It's that bad. Like, and don't jump, because you confuse the camera. The camera gets all kinds of crazy. Like, I tried. Okay, now you're the smoking hot ninja chick, okay? Uh-huh.
Red's wearing red, no less.
Right, right. Red's my favorite color. So those of you that don't know that, okay, this is why, I mean, ninjas are cool. Now, the only way this could have been better was been Ninja Pirates, or Red Pirates, right? And that would have been the only way this game could have had a cooler title. Red Ninja. You got this just incredibly hot ninja chick, okay, wearing next to nothing. It's this little short red dress thing that barely covers anything. You basically spend half the game looking at her black thong panties, whatever the hell she's wearing. It forces you to. You walk and her skirt's blowing up in the wind, you know. I'm okay with that, right?
This is
the highlight of this game. Yeah. Checking out the character. This is the problem with it. Okay, the story seemed pretty cool too. It opens up with a short little video thing, you know, little video.
Right.
And it's short, concise, to the point, and gets you into the game pretty quick. I like that. I hate 20-minute long sequences. Hello, you listening, Square? And, you know, it has a pretty neat story. She watches her father die. They stole some plans for, like, this weapon that he made. It was pretty cool. sets you up to where you got to go assassinate some dudes because you were trained by some guy in ninjutsu to be whatever, and now you're taken out, and there's like these warring factions. It seems like a really cool game. You know? Damn. Sets you up. You're dropped in the world. You got your hot ninja chick. You say, okay, this controls me around. What does this button do? And the buttons are kind of stupid. You got no options in this to change anything either. Okay, how do I control the camera? You move the camera, and it's all over the place. You walk, and it starts bouncing around. It's really hard to focus on shit in this. You get disoriented. It's really disorienting, their camera. It's really strange. It keeps deciding to pop up into weird places, and God forbid you jump on something. You know, I remember there was this part where I was jumping on a roof. Well animated. The game is really, and they spent a lot of time on making this chick, you know, pretty well animated. I mean, fairly well. You can do some cool stuff. You can, like, hang dudes and shit, even. You got, like, this piano wire type deal thing, right? And, you know, I'm sure it's got some cool, like, official name, too. And, like, but, okay, I'm jumping on these roofs, and you grab it and hang on to it first and pull yourself up. Pretty well animated, but the camera all of a sudden doesn't know what to do. You know, or it gets real close and you don't know what's going on and you're staring at panties again, you know, and, you know, which isn't so bad, except for you're trying to not get killed, right? Okay? You jump up to the highest level and you're on the roof of buildings now, and the camera really doesn't know what to do now. It's really terrible. The controls, I didn't like it because they were like, okay, you can sneak up behind dudes and assassinate them, but you got a whole B for like crouch, like walk slow type,
right?
And then, hold L to target them, and then somehow you're pressing the button directly opposite from B, which is X, on your Xbox control. So you're, like, trying to roll your thumb across and not press the ones that are on the top and the bottom, Y and A, right? You know, you can't do it right. So the only way that I was able to actually do it very well was to, you can creep, you can, like, walk slow. Instead of crouch, you can just barely move the analog stick and you creep slow, and you can target with the left thing and hit X just fine. But it didn't seem like it was easy to do it the other way. There was a little leeway to where the point where you could let off the control and still assassinate him, but it doesn't make itself obvious immediately. Right. It's just not that good. You know, the combat was terrible. God forbid you don't get to assassinate somebody like that. God damn it. You get into combat with some asshole, and it's just like you're pressing the button to swing your little dagger. You got daggers, swords, throwing daggers, all kinds of stupid crap. And it doesn't feel like you're hitting anything. You know, and it's just like, it's lame. The combat doesn't feel real. They're hitting you, you're hitting them, all of a sudden you see this huge spray anime style of blood, you know, but it's not good looking. It looks almost just like one pixel line, you know, like for like a spray. Like it's I don't know quite how to describe it. I'm not doing it right. It's a whole spray, but it looks like individual pixel lines coming out, as opposed to like globs of blood and bunch of juice coming out. It's really strange. It's just bizarre. You can't tell where you're getting hit from all the time. I had some dude shooting arrows at me, coming from space, for all I knew. Finally found him after I died 3 or 4 times up on some little turret thing somewhere. You know, it sucks. You know, the level design, I can't say enough bad. The level design was weak. Plain as all sin. You know, here you are in a courtyard. There's nothing behind you but a wall. Here's a tree or two, maybe a bush or two. Here's 5 buildings that look the same. And you've got to get from point A to point B, which they show you the path through the level when you start the level. So you know exactly where you're going right off the bat and where all the enemies are, because they're there. And you just start walking down. There's this very rigid, very straight... It's weak.
See, it's games like this that make me say, all right, maybe a little bit of GTA.
Yeah, yeah. Huh?
the whole linear from point A to point B with absolutely no... where to go in between is just doesn't fly anymore. In any game. And it's just, we need places to go. We need little nooks and crannies to figure out. We need to figure out how to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, don't show me the way through the damn level right off the bat. That takes all the adventure out of it right there. Thanks.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, and you can do this neat little lure thing too. Because you're this just incredibly hot chick. And all your enemies are men. So of course you can like walk on the corner and walk up real slow to them and like smile and giggle, and then you hide behind a corner and wave your arm out, and they're walking around going, ooh, ooh,
right,
this is gonna be a, you know, and it's just like, dude, for the love of God, how stupid is this? It's just, I don't know, man, I don't know where the decisions were in this game, but great work on the character. Everything else was absolute shit. So, if you run across this for $5, it's worth checking out for the character. Just because, and this little story thing in the beginning was actually pretty cool. I mean, I actually enjoyed myself for all of...
10 minutes?
Yeah, yeah. Like, maybe a good... Okay, the video was cool, the intro was neat. and you start playing, and after you get used to the camera and checking yourself out, it's over. It right. sucks. There's nothing else there. So if you got $5 to burn and you don't know what to do with it, hey, if you can find Red Ninja, it gets a 5 out of $50.
Ooh.
And I feel bad because I paid 7 to rent it. I got stuck. Yeah, that was a bad idea. This game was absolute crap, and it could have been so fat. License the engine. Even the running on the walls didn't work right. License the damn Shinobi engine, or whatever the hell that other game is, Nightshade or whatever, and throw this character in there, and in that same time, and you might have something that works. They tried to reinvent the wheel, and they did a bad job. Now, wow, we had a lot more game news than I thought we had. Because we had a lot of stuff to talk about movies this week, because it's summertime.
You know? Crazy enough, a lot of it, there are a lot of video game movies.
There really are, and we should really
compared
get into
compared to past that. Years, that's just, it's quite amazing.
We really should. In fact, I've got two things that are not quite related to the rest.
I don't know when they're going to learn, because the only movie that ever did anything was Tomb Raider. Every other video game movie is... Something.
Oh, video game movie. Right. Yeah, Jesus.
You're Tomb right. Raider is the only one that's even, like, covered their costs.
Yeah. That's very true. That is very true. I know one that's going to not cover anything up. Dead or Alive. We're talking about Bear Clothing here. There's a Dead or Alive movie that they're working on. I do not know what to think about this movie. Okay, and it's going to be... All I basically know about it is some of the actors and actresses... and it's going to be filmed all over China.
The worst part is it going to make it PG-13?
Yeah, that's going to be no good. See, this is where they're going wrong. They just need to cut the chase, go straight to the porn, and get it over with, you know? Jesus. Yeah.
Well, at least R, but they're not going to, because it's a video game movie. You can't make a video game movie R.
Why not?
Well, you should be able
exactly.
to.
Exactly. Now, I don't know those of you, some of you I'm sure are way into actors and actresses, so here's the list. Jamie Presley. Okay, this is the only person I know on this list only because there was a picture associated with the name on the site.
This chick, oh my god, she's not even cute.
She's up for Tina, though, and I don't think she's big enough to be Tina. Tina strikes me as like a larger woman. not this chick. This is the chick that I always think of as the dumb, ditzy, blonde cheerleader type in all these teen movies.
She looked
the
like-
bitch.
Yeah, she looks like she just as soon gut you
yeah.
as look at you.
Yes, I don't know if this was a good idea.
Now, as far as a fighting character goes, maybe that's not such a bad idea.
Yeah, maybe. But she doesn't strike me as like a rustler type, though.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know if she's going to work well as Tina. Sarah Carter, I don't know who any of the rest of these people are. Holly Valance, Devin A-O-K-I, Okoye, Kane Kasugi, maybe? Not... I can't even read my own handwriting. Natissia Mouth, Matthew Malassers of Masla, and Eric Roberts. Masler and Eric Roberts. Yeah, so if anybody you know who these people are and you're going, oh my god, my favorite actor, great for you, because I don't know who the fuck these people are. What I care about in this movie, the sole thing I care about, is who gets to play Kasumi. That's all I care about in this movie. I don't even really want to watch it. I just want to know who plays it, and I'll look at pictures online when it comes out, when they're, you know, this is shot from the scene on location. The movie's going to suck. It's got to. Okay. Script. Listen to who wrote this movie. The guy who did Pretty Woman and Under Siege. Now, you can't think of the two better mixes of movies that have come up with a fighting game based on hot chicks. You know, Pretty Woman and Under Siege. You know, what's the guy's name? Steven Seagal,
right.
Fighting movie, you know? So, I don't know. I mean, who knows? They might pull it together. I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see that as being a very good movie idea.
Yeah, I don't either. Wait till Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball movie when they do a whole competition across the world.
There you
that,
go.
Right? And they grow up a little bit. Now we're talking about a movie.
Now, also, Hitman. Is going to be a movie.
This is great. Hitman. Everybody knows this guy, Mr. What's his name? Codename 47 or
right.
whatever.
Now this is a possible for a really good movie.
Yes, it is.
Hitman is a good idea to make
into a movie. Hitman's a good game, and it has so much more to offer to a story than
right.
Dead Seriously. Or Alive. Right.
Well,
Dead or Alive
Dead
can't
Alive
even offer gameplay to games. Yeah, it does. But if they're not making it full jiggly, there's no reason to watch this movie. I mean,
that's
it's
true. It needs to be R.
It does. I'm sorry. That's the only thing that's going to save your movie. Get over it.
Now, Agent 47 is going to be Vin Diesel.
This is a bad idea.
I don't think so.
I do.
I think Vin Diesel just oozes badass. I think he did a great job in everything he's done as being this, like, tough dude.
Right, right.
And I think he'll do it perfectly fine. He's already bald.
He's made for the part then, right?
Yeah. Now, although you had another idea that would have been really good.
I think that I don't know the guy's name, but I know him as Handsome Rob.
Right.
From the Italian Job.
Or the guy from Transporter.
Tell me that guy does not have code, you know, Agent 40, whatever the hell it is, number 47 written all over him.
Definitely.
God, it would be perfect. And they decided to go with the hit of the week guy, you know, Vin Diesel. I mean, come on. He's not white. That doesn't even make any sense to me. Okay, I'm sorry to pull out the race card, but I have to. This is a tall, skinny, cue ball white guy who's now a shorter, whiter black guy. He's still bald, though. Perfect for the role.
Vin Diesel is not black.
Well, whatever. He's not black, but he's way hella dark. He's not pasty white like the dude is in the video game.
No, but he's certainly not black.
What is he? Well, yeah, he's not black. What is he?
He's tan. He's
not a tan-ass white guy, though, is he?
I think so. I think he's Italian.
Okay, that could be, but there's some serious dark natural skin tones there.
Right.
So, I guess, But he's not I'm thinking of, like, any color and, like, chalk white, like the guy is in the game, though. I mean, he is pasty white.
He is pretty pasty.
Right? I mean, that's what I picture as this character, and they're going to change it to this tan, burly guy. No, this is kind of a skinny guy. You know? He's not Vin Diesel ripped.
He's not Vin Diesel.
No,
burly.
This is, I don't know. But anyway, enough about that.
I think he's going to do an okay job. I think it'll be a good movie. I think they'll screw it up.
Yeah.
As they have every other video game movie known to man.
Yeah, this is going to be bad. They're going to probably turn into a cheesy action romp with no, like, good thick plot. And they need some good drama moments and some nice silent stealth, intense running away from people and sneaking up on people stuff.
I think they might do it.
Time will tell.
There's also going to be, well, no, it's not official yet, but there might be a Halo movie.
This is big news to a lot of Xbox players.
Right. But now, Microcash wants, they want $10 million up front and 15% of the sales.
Jesus.
for the licensing.
Good lord. Now, how much of that do you think Bungie's going to see?
Bungie doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah, they do.
Not really.
They do.
They're Microsoft now.
No, they're owned by Microsoft.
Right.
They still have their own little company, and they still get money.
Do they?
Yeah. They still have their site in full effect. Their website's up. They still got all them people working there, talking to the community, still working on everything. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't think Bungie is a company anymore.
I don't know.
I think all the employees just get paid.
Oh, really? I don't know.
I don't know. But
I'm not
I think
so,
so.
Sure. I was pretty sure it wasn't that.
I think Microsoft owns them in full, in entirety.
Wow. Okay, I had no idea if that's the case.
I think so.
I don't know. Okay.
But we're going to get so stumped.
Yeah, we are. We always drop it on the movies somehow. This is how I blame that. And any actual facts, you know. Okay.
The closest that they've come to getting that is Universal and Fox has joined it together and offered $5 million up front and 10% of sales, which is still a lot for a license, I would think.
Yeah, that... Jesus Christ. Plus... You know a lot of people are going to go see this, no matter how bad it is.
Oh,
because it's Halo. You know, it's like Tomb Raider even. You know, even if it was terrible, people saw it because it was Tomb Raider. They were curious. You know? But, like, look at Fight Club, which was one of the best movies I've ever seen, clearly. But it wasn't so mainstream. So when the game came out, nobody cared to buy the game.
Right.
You know, even I didn't care to buy it, but I didn't even care to rent it, and I should have at least to check it out, you know? But it just sucked. You know,
yeah, the demo was just
terrible. Boring. It just is no good. No good at all. Halo, Dead or Alive. We're quickly running out of video. In fact, that might. Oh well, this isn't exactly video game related, but it kind of is. We're going into. Well, okay. We'll do the last. We'll do a comic one. We'll do the comic ones, and then we'll get to like other stuff. Just so it kind of flows. Fantastic Four. I don't know what to think about this. This comes out July 8th.
I don't either. I've always thought the Fantastic Four were a little on the cheesy side, personally. The whole family thing. Yeah.
It's like the Partridge Family gets special powers.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm sure there's a lot of people who really dig on the Fantastic Four.
Right. I'm sure it was people that read the comics back then, too. Yeah. You know, I'm sure it was just like, wow, you know, it's going to relive my childhood. But, dude, I think the worst thing that they did with this was the cast selection. I don't know how I could improve the cast selection, though. But that's my fault here on this. I should have spent some time figuring who should have been who. But seriously, I couldn't even tell you who the actors are. But look at the posters and whatnot. Go to the site, whatever it is. It's probably FantasticFourMovie.com or something.
Probably.
But like the one guy. Okay, wait. Isn't Jessica Alba in this?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. And I don't think that this is a very good choice for the Invisible Woman. I just don't think it is. Then they've got some kid who I see in you know, these teen movies all the time.
Right, right. The one that's the stretchy guy? Or no, the fire
torch.
Guy.
Yeah, the Human Torch guy. I see this kid in, like, you know, Van Wilder type movies, you know, and like right. he was in Not Another Teen Movie, I'm pretty sure. You know, I think he was the kid that was chasing the girl around. You know, it's just like these guys, I don't see them as being a serious badass comic character, and I don't know. I don't think they're up to it. Alba, maybe. Maybe, but I don't think she not for that particular role. You know, I think she could pull it off, but maybe not that role in this particular movie. I've seen 4 or 5 different trailers now. You know, you can get like the international trailers, U.S. Right. trailers, teasers, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't even look like it's that good of a movie, though. And this is what I'm worried about. You know, it doesn't look like it's exciting.
Yeah, we finally had a couple that did well.
X-Men Forever.
Or Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, good stuff.
And all of a sudden they go right back to
the Hulk.
Pumping out the trash.
You know, yeah.
And so they're gonna burn it out, and then we're not going to get the good ones anymore.
Yeah, you're probably right. Because you're saying, oh, there's no money in this. Yeah. Well, if you would stop making crappy-ass movies.
Superman came out, and that was awesome, and the first Batmans were cool, and then it crumbled because they started pumping out garbage. And now they're going to do the same thing again, only worse, because now they're like really pumping out after movie after movie, every comic book hero known to man.
Yep, we're going to have even the obscure crap pretty soon here, you know, and that's going to be really weird.
Like Captain America.
You know, well, I mean, at least he's fairly popular. I mean, stuff like Sleepwalker, something that didn't make it that many issues even, you know. I mean, Captain America is pretty well known. He's even in video games these days, you know, he's Captain America. But like Sleepwalker, half the people that collect the comics are probably right now going, who? You know, I love reading and Darkhawk, you know. All these ones, I'm sure we're going to see him someday. But, like, okay, this movie looks pretty bad, though. I'm sorry to say.
We'll see.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it, okay? Because I still believe, no matter how bad the movie is, if I put my dollars towards that, you know, at least they'll keep making them and say, wow, somebody wants to see these. Maybe we should make a good one, you know? Or maybe they'll get lucky and make a good one every now and again, you know? Like, you know, X-Men. X-Men I love. I absolutely adore X-Men 1 and 2. 2 was way better than 1, though. I was impressed. Now, mentioning Batman earlier, Batman Begins.
This one looks really good to me.
I have heard nothing but the best of the best reviews about this. I mean, seriously, I run into people all day, for people I work with, people I talk to, telling me how great this movie is. And one of the things that I kept hearing was that it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying to myself, Batman makes sense. And they're saying, no, they use logic in this movie. He makes the Batarang. He makes the PlayStation 3 controller, you know? He the suit isn't just badass because he's Batman. The suit is badass because of something. Like, it was some government experiment made out of, you know, experiment and too expensive, so they scrapped it and he got it because he, you know, whatever the case. Whatever, it was logical and made sense. And that, to me, sounds really cool when you can explain why somebody kicks ass. You know, I like that a lot. So that goes a long way with me. Do we know who's playing Batman?
Yeah, that one guy with the face.
The guy with the face who was in that movie that time?
Yeah.
Right, that guy. Of course, I managed to throw the paper away. No, I didn't write his name down. Oh, yeah, Christian Bale.
Ah, yes, okay. Yes.
Oh, and...
He was in that one movie.
Yeah, that one movie. Right. Now, this movie's doing pretty good, too, because on the first 5 days, $112.8 million.
It's pretty solid.
That's pretty good, you know?
Not record-breaking, but
no,
it's...
No, but you know what? You know, because I'm sure people have a bad taste in their mouth from Batman. From the last couple Batmans. I like the first one. Never saw the one with the Penguin. I saw Batman and Robin, okay, with the Governator, right? And I'll tell you what, when I saw that, a friend of mine and I Hadn't seen it. We thought, hadn't heard anything about it. Just thought, hey, we're going to rent this. You know, hey, a new Batman should be all right. Holy Christ. We watched that for about 20 minutes and turned it off. That movie was shit. You know, and I think a lot of people, myself, thought, you know, oh, great, another Batman movie. Till I started seeing trailers and hearing how good this really is.
Right.
And we got, you know, the email at the beginning of the show, movie of the year. That's very real possibility. You know, because I haven't seen what I would consider the movie of the year yet, I don't think. Well, I've got a candidate. But
we're also still a few months out before.
On top of, yeah, we're a long way to go still. You know, I mean, we're halfway through the year. But I want to watch Kingdom of Heaven also. I really want to see that movie. So, with Russell Crowe, hey, we got it right. Now, let's see, what else do we know about Batman Begins? Oh, yeah, there's some good people in this. Katie Holmes, who, as we discovered in episode 90, I know is together with Tom Cruise. And I can't stand the fact that I know that. However, Katie Holmes, I think, kicks ass. She was in the movie Go, and that's what I know her from. And so, I don't know, I think she's pretty cool.
She was also in
Ghost Ship, which I never saw. But I want to, because she's in it.
No, Disturbing Behavior.
I don't think I ever saw that either.
I dug that movie. It kind of cheesy, nothing real special, but I dug it.
I would have preferred having, like, Jennifer Connelly in this, though, probably. That chick is hot. They should have put her in this. But anyway.
There's something pretty hot about Katie Holmes.
Yeah, there is.
I'm not sure what it is.
I don't know either.
But
It's... Yeah, anyway. Morgan Freeman is in this also. One hell of an actor.
Yeah,
he's pretty amazing. Yeah, so he's in that too. I don't know. It seems like it's much more adult.
Also, the guy that played Qui-Gon Jinn.
Oh,
he was like
Star Wars.
Yeah, he was like the trainer dude, the guy that like
taught
made Batman.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, and see, he trained. He didn't just wake up one day and he was Batman. You know, he's got like a 9-inch dick and these superpowers. he's a normal guy with money who had to, you know, train. And he watched his parents get killed. And he travels across the world. This is whole thing. You know, sounds really good. And I really wish we would have got to go see that today before the show. But unfortunately, you know, shit happened. But maybe later. You know, next week. Oh, right, next week. Nice of me to drop this 20 minutes before the end of the show. I was going to mention this at the beginning of the episode so everybody would hear it that was listening. Chances are there's not going to be a show next week. I'm going out of town. Okay, so unless you and Modem can scrounge up a quarter apiece and buy a goddamn microphone and pirate yourselves an episode or whatever the hell you guys said you were going to do last time.
We're going to break into the house.
That's what it was. Yeah. That's what needs to happen. That is fine. Now, let's see, we are on to, wait, see, we're doing this in a pretty good order, too. We're doing our preview stuff, and then we got the movies that we actually saw, and stuff that's not out yet. August 5th marks a sad day for the silver screen, because they are saying this is the movie event of the summer, the Dukes of Hazzard movie.
Oh, no.
Yeehaw!
The worst part about this is I have to watch it.
And I'm going to be right there next to you watching this. I know it. Because I grew up with this crap. I remember one of the very, very first birthday presents that I ever got was like this little fold out of like the middle of the town in Hazzard County with like the gas station, the police station, and you know, and it was like...
For Hot Wheels and stuff?
Right, exactly, right? Yeah. It was like a little fold out thing. And I remember being told, you have to clean your room, because it was like a couple days before my birthday and I wanted it so bad. I was like, I gotta have it. And my mom was like, you gotta clean your room. And I cleaned the shit out of that place, you know? And I played with my little General Lee Hot Wheels car on this little thing for hours. I mean, I had to been like 2 or 3. Because we moved out of that house when I was like 4 and a half. So I was young. And I remember getting a Ms. Pac-Man little Coleco handheld deal later on. So I know that was after. And that was probably 4, maybe. I don't know. But I remember that thing, man. The Dukes of Hazzard were it, man. Watching that car fly. All right, this movie, it can't be good.
No, it can't.
And I'll tell you, well, we know why it can't be good. It could be fairly funny. Decent. And if it's going to be hilarious.
It could be funny.
It's going to be a riot, because every time that car... You've seen... Okay, they took it way overboard, because did you see how high this car, like, flies in the trailer? I mean, it's, like, way beyond, like, they hit a jump and the car gets some air. This car, the General Lee, can now hover. I swear to God, this thing flies in the trailer. No. The actors, I think, are where I have the biggest problem in this. Or at least...
I think that could possibly be the only saving grace.
For humor's sake?
Yes.
Okay, I'm with you. But, okay, they got... Okay, the Duke boys, whatever their names are, I can't remember. Luke and Dookie. What was it? Luke and...
I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
I don't think I've ever seen an episode. Ever.
No way.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You're serious?
I think so.
Holy crap.
I think I've seen a few minutes of one and then very purposefully turn the channel.
Jesus Christ. Okay, well, they've got Stifler as one of the boys.
The one that drives.
Yeah. Right. And Stifler, what's his name? You had it earlier.
Something.
It's three words, too long, whatever. He's Stifler forever. I don't care, okay? This guy, Stifler in a Dukes of Hazzard movie. And then, and I think this guy's pretty cool, Johnny Knoxville.
Right.
Okay, he's in...
Jackass.
And then guess who plays Daisy Duke?
Oh, Jennifer Simpson?
No, Jessica.
Jessica Simpson.
Jessica Simpson. I don't know about her and Stifler in this. I don't know. I guess her part's okay. She shouldn't have to talk very much. She just had to wear, like, really short, cut-off jeans and shorts, you know, jean shorts and some short shirt. I mean,
she just passed a look jiggly.
Yeah, that's her role, so I guess that might be all right, but I don't think she's very good-looking, so I don't know. But check this out. Burt Reynolds plays Boss Hogg. Burt Reynolds, and you know who else is in this? Is Willie Nelson. Okay, well, them two I see in this movie.
That had to have been.
You know, except
you
for...
You can't have... With Willie Nelson alive... Yeah. He has to be in anything like this.
The only, like, Burt Reynolds is great, but I don't see him playing Boss Hogg, who was a fat dude, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
He was a short, fat guy. You know, not this tall, skinny Burt Reynolds guy. And I don't know, like, I'm sure, you know, hey, use your creative license for your characters all you want, but Boss Hogg is supposed to be a fat guy. Okay, they didn't call him Boss Beanpole. They called him Boss Hogg, okay? So I don't know about this movie. This is August 5th, Dukes of Hazzard, for the love of God. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Smith is out now.
Right.
This, I think, looks fantastic.
I've heard a lot of good things about this movie.
I've heard nothing but mediocre things. I've heard it's pretty good, and you just kind of have to go take it for what it is. That's the kind of thing I hear. You know, like, you got to go in not expecting a whole lot. I hear this from people at work. Even my sister said almost the exact same thing to me. She said, you just have to kind of, you know, turn off... You know, and just enjoy it for what it is, which is what I do to every movie.
Right.
I let the movie...
I don't think you can.
Yeah, you can, because I see people tell me, day in and day out, Hackers is not realistic, but The Matrix is the best movie I've ever seen. And I'm like, listen, asshole, okay? You know, you're a freaking retard, okay? It's a movie. This is just how I watch movies. Turn it all off, let it take you for the ride. That's what it's there for, okay? You're in their world.
Yeah.
Okay? Not yours and trying to, you know, hate on a movie for whatever reason or say one's great because everybody else does.
It can be whatever degree of realistic it wants to be.
Exactly. Exactly. So, this, I don't know, this is Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, they're like spies or something, and they have to, like, pretend that they're married or some shit.
No, they are married.
Oh, is that what it is?
They don't know each other as spies.
Oh, really? See, yeah, that sounds even better now.
They've been married for, like, 20 years or whatever. Right. I don't know.
Oh, and okay.
Then they both...
have to kill each other.
Right. They both get jobs... From different people to kill each other.
Right, okay, right. That's as far as I got with the story. It seemed like, okay, cool. That sounds really cool, though. And you said it's a remake?
That's what I've heard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Everything's a remake these days.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, I don't know. But I don't know, this, it looks good to me, because it just seems to me you have the opportunity for cool spy stuff, a neat story twist, and a lot of humor.
You know? I think they're a little bit more like assassin type spies.
Right. Yeah, this is definitely. This is not like recon spy. This is definitely kill people type spy. So they're shooting rocket launchers at each other, and they're trained in the arts of ass kick basically. And then you've got this movie where they got to kill each other. I think it sounds cool. I'm not hearing such great things about it, but I don't know. I'm gonna have to see it for myself. It seems to me like True Lies 2. It almost seems like it would just be the natural progression of that, except for they would know, of course, you know, in True Lies 2, but which is, I like True Lies. Like, that was a pretty good movie. Again, with the Governator in it, you know, but it was a pretty good movie. You know?
But in a role that fit.
Right.
Freaking Mr. Freeze, Dr. Freeze.
Yeah. Just, that's no good. Now, let's see. Speaking of remakes, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I was a lot more excited about this.
July 15th.
Before I saw a new trailer. I like Johnny Depp quite a bit. I think I've mentioned that before.
Right.
He looked like his character, the way he was playing Willy Wonka, was like a combination between Michael Jackson and...
What the deuce?
And Jim Carrey.
Right, okay, yeah.
He's talking all high-pitched, and he's showing off his teeth, and he's...
Yeah, and he's, like, scared of little kids, except for not like Michael Jackson.
It was not... You like, see where I got that, was, though?
Yeah. I don't mean about the... Michael Jackson in the, very kind of, you gotta move slow around him to not startle him.
Right.
Kind of way.
Right.
And he's pasty ass white.
And the
just like Michael Jackson.
Very high pitched.
Yeah. Totally see where you get that.
It was very creepy, but not in the way I thought this movie was
not
gonna be.
Dark creepy.
Every poster, every little clip that I had seen in previous times, not to mention it's Tim frickin' Burton.
Right.
Led me to believe that this was gonna be kind of a creepy deal.
Right.
And No, it's not.
It's way too...
It's like a kid's movie.
It is.
And I got real disappointed from that trailer.
I'm not a Tim Burton fan anyway. I don't like anything that he's done except for... Didn't he do Edward Scissorhands?
Yes.
Okay, I thought that was passable. But I don't like that night... I don't know.
You don't like Nightmare Before Christmas?
I can't stand that movie, yeah.
Oh, I love that
movie. I
thought Big Fish was really good.
Didn't like it that much. Had potential. I don't know about that guy, man.
I like weird off-the-wall stuff.
Yeah, we've mentioned that before, but I don't know. Like, okay, but Willy Wonka is a childhood favorite movie to us, though. I've seen this as a kid a million times. It was a good movie.
I had memorized.
You know, yeah.
Up until the age of like 12.
You know, exactly. You know, and now they're remaking it, but it's like way hella different, it seems like. Like, didn't it seem like there was stuff that didn't see in the other one? Like, they just added whole on shit to it?
No, you realize that the book is actually quite different
from the
movie that we saw originally.
Right.
And the whole plan was to go a little bit more in line with the book.
Okay. Well, then, my bad. You know, I don't know what I'm talking about here, but it doesn't look as good as either one of us thought it was going to be, is the bottom line.
I'll probably watch it. I doubt I'll go into the theater to do it.
Yeah, and I'm fairly certain that if you're a theater-going person over the age of 22 to watch this movie, it's required that you go in on some kind of drugs. It's the only way that this is going to work. I'm serious, and not alcohol. That's not going to fly for this. I hate to suggest something like that.
Unless you want to see Johnny Depp acting like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, it's scary. There's little kids there, and he's not touching them very much, though. So, let's see. We had some other stuff here, too. We covered a shitload of movies, though. I wanted to talk about, you know what, I'm going to, really quickly, I've mentioned it a long time ago, and it's so good that I have to say something about this. The movie National Treasure. Now, I know a lot of people go, oh, Christ, a Disney movie. You know what? Mr. Eisner earned his $4 or $3 that I paid to rent that movie that time. Because you know what? It's a Disney flick. Did you notice that there's no, like, special effects in that movie?
Nothing really.
There's no, like, explosion. Well, okay, there's an explosion, but there's no serious CG. There's none. There's none of that ridiculous stuff. I'm sure the explosions were just straight, you know, throw some dynamite on the ground, they blew it up. That was like it for that movie, and it was they did a damn fun job. This has got Nicolas Cage, who is a pretty good actor. He's a good actor. I think he's pretty good. I mean, there's very few things that I've seen with him in it that I didn't like.
Yeah,
you know, so it's like, you know, hey, he must be on the pretty good end of the spectrum there. And this movie's basically about a treasure hunt. He as a kid, you know, he finds out something about like this treasure that was like a rumor, so called anyway, and it was had something to do with the
Illuminati, I think was the.
The Masons,
the Freemasons.
Right, that's right. And there was this big treasure, and so they get into the whole story about it. Then they get into the it was hidden away, and there was these clues left around, and nobody knew anything about it except for certain pieces. And so when he grows up, you know, this is like the first 2 minutes of the movie, he grows up, and he's in real life now, and he's got a piece figured out, he thinks. And he's trying to find a ship that was supposedly carrying the next clue to the puzzle. You know, and so right on, it starts you on a treasure hunt when you're watching the movie. Just right out of the gate, bam, you know, you're like, wow, you know, where does this go? And I was concerned the movie was going to be too short with not enough puzzles. Because when you watch the trailer, right off the bat, it tells you where, like, the treasure map and here's all the good stuff. Right. And so I'm watching the trailer and then I fire the movie up, you know, and I'm like, wow, they get right to the point. You know, within, it seems like 15, 20 minutes, it seems to, like, wow, dwindle. This isn't really a treasure hunt movie, this is like a... He's trying to break in and steal crap. Maybe this blows. Well, that's not the case. It's like clue after clue after clue, and things keep happening. They keep finding stuff. It's really, really neat. They keep discovering cool things. It's well explained. Mm-hmm. It's really like, wow, that's kind of neat, you know? They did a hell of a good job on this movie.
I think so, too.
I mean, I was shocked. I thought it was going to be pretty bad. I really did, yeah, yeah. I didn't hear anybody say anything about it.
I was excited from the moment I heard that it was basically the same team that did Pirates of the Caribbean, which was another very good movie. Solid movie.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. Yeah, I liked that movie a lot. But, see, I didn't know any of that. All I knew, Nicolas Cage was in it, had something to do with treasure hunting. Didn't hear anything about it. Blew my mind. And you know what else is awesome? There's the female, the lead actress in this is, oh Christ, what was her name? Diane Kruger. And this chick is awesome. This chick is gorgeous. She's the girl who plays Helen in Troy.
Right.
Right. So anybody who's seen Troy, you should if you haven't. This is the girl, she's in this movie too. She's awesome. She does a great job. I think this movie was just fantastic. And out of the $8.50, now that we had to adjust our scale, because movie prices have gone up, thanks Mr. Eisner, this seriously gets $7.50 out of $8.50. Easy. You know, I was like, I want to give it more, but it seemed like it could have been a little bit more. I mean, I can't find too many flaws in it. You know, I don't know. It was a fantastic movie. I came away with that I want to be a treasure hunter feeling. You know, and movies need to give you that feeling. You know, that I want to be, you know, you come out of watching The Matrix going, I want to be Neo. Yeah. You know, you come away watching The Pirates of the Caribbean, I want to be a pirate. That's a good movie.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be a damn treasure hunter after watching this movie. It was, you know what I mean? Like modern day, but it was modern day, so it was cool. Mm-hmm. Finding old stuff, that was a neat thing too. You know, it was just...
They did a good job of explaining how it got lost and hidden away.
In fact, at one point, I cheered. I'm in this place, sitting here by myself, you know, and I'm watching it, I'm just watching it, and I'm going, these two need to get together. You know, this hot chick with Nicolas Cage, this has got to happen. And you know it's going to happen, but you don't know how it's going to happen. You think right. It's at the end, they're going to get all happily married and blah, blah, blah. At some point in the middle of the movie, he just turns and just plants one on her. You know, and it's just like, yeah! And I was like, yeah! We need to see more of that, you know? And this was a Disney movie. They did a good job.
Yeah.
I really liked this movie a whole lot. I think that just about does it for us then. Because we can't go too much longer or we end up getting cut off. So, I'm going to save the best for next week. I actually got to watch the BBS, the documentary, and this was just fantastic. Go check it out, bbsdocumentary.com, and if you can find it, you can download it. Legally. Okay? I know the Pirate Bay has it up there. That's where I grabbed it from. As soon as I scraped it some cash, this is a purchase.
That
this
doesn't
is a good
sound
movie.
All that legal. The no, Pirate
he,
Bay.
He, the site has nothing but... Yeah, bad stuff, you know, illegal stuff. But this particular thing released by Jason Scott under the Creative Commons license. Most everybody who's listening to this must know who Jason Scott is. Textfiles.com and a bunch of everything. This guy has, like, I swear to God, everything archived on the internet. Everything. It was like BBS days and everything. It's pretty cool. It's really cool. 5.5 hours of this documentary. We're going to have to talk about this more later, though, because it's sweet. Go check it out. We'll see you 2 weeks from now. Shit.
Later.
Bye-bye.